to a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week, we're linking up with British diving sensation Andrea Spindolini Siriex. At only 16 years old, she made her Olympic debut in the final of the 10-metre platform in Tokyo. She's since then gone on to win 2 Commonwealth golds, a Commonwealth silver, a World Championship bronze, and a European Championship gold and bronze. Not only that, she's an advocate for debunking stereotypes around aesthetics and body image. Andrea, how are you?
Good morning, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Where are we?
We're at Stratford. We've just come out of the Olympic pool and we're going to go on a little walk and do some chatting.
Nice. Do you often walk around here?
No, I'm usually straight off back home after training, you know.
In, out, get the job done.
Exactly.
And she's off.
Exactly.
Not today.
Not today. No, not today. You're right.
How was your session?
It was okay. Not very much, but I've had a really hard week, so my body's kind of feeling it. I'm feeling quite tired. But I'm excited to talk to you, and it's nice to be in the fresh air, really.
Too right. Now, talk to me. What does a tough week entail for you? Because I'm very aware that you are juggling multiple subjects, from education to the physical enduring task of a full-time diving career.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing my mocks this past month, so I've been revising, doing exams, doing homework non-stop. So mentally I'm quite exhausted, and then this week the physical demand was much more than I could handle. So it was just, you know, pushing every day, trying my hardest. But at the end of the week, I was just kind of like, I was shattered. I was in bed by 5 p.m. like every day. It was
in bed by 5 p.m. How in do bed. You fit your life into a day, Andrea, if you're in bed by 5?
So that's a great question. So I wake up, I go to school, I go to training, I come back, and then I eat, spend some time with my family, and then I have to lay down somewhere. I have to relax, otherwise my brain just doesn't stop. But it's just, there's a lot going on every day.
I honestly don't know how you juggle it all. From a mental capacity, do you find that takes more out of you than the physical side?
I think it's a balance between the two, because obviously when you're mentally tired, physically, it's harder to do your best. And the same way, if you're physically tired, mentally, you feel demotivated and frustrated. But when I'm doing like a lot of work, I'm basically like working out when I'm doing homework. It's non-stop. And then I have to think when I dive, because if you don't think when you dive, that's a bit dangerous, isn't it?
Just a tad.
But yeah, it's quite difficult because I'm just non-stop. I'm always thinking about how I can improve my training, how I can complete homework on time, how I can make sure that I'm, you know, as prepared for my exams as possible. But you know, this season will pass, and then next year I'll be a bit more relaxed.
Now, last year you had the most incredible year. Take us to the Commonwealth Games and sealing the deal on that gold medal.
The Commonwealth Games were incredible. I mean, that was the first time that I had a major event that I had a crowd so big, and it was full. I mean, it was packed, and it was just incredible. And everyone was cheering, like no one knew who I was. Everyone was just cheering. It was so loud. And when you're on that diving board, especially in the last few dives, you need that push from the crowd just to ensure that you're not thinking too much. And it was just so positive. It was just so uplifting. And then after I did my dive, I was just kind of like, right, that felt good. And then I heard the screams before I got out of the water. So I knew that it was a good dive. And it was just incredible just to see everyone standing up. And then I ran over to my coach. It's a moment that I'll never forget. And it's on video too, so I physically can't forget it.
That is just pure magic to have that opportunity at home to essentially go in as a bit of an underdog, because in Tokyo, of course, no crowds, made the Olympic final.
Yeah.
That's a huge achievement in itself in your first games.
It was, yeah, that was, it's something that was really challenging for me, especially during that time. And so, you know, just being there was already a dream come true. So to be able to get into the final was just an added bonus.
Magic. And then European Championship gold medal as well.
Another home games because it was in Italy. And my mum was there. She's Italian and she had the British flag and she was speaking in Italian and everyone was so confused. Like, they were like, I'm sorry, who are you cheering for? But it's so nice because my auntie, my uncle and my cousin came and watched and they'd never seen me dive, like, compete in person. So it was so nice. After my competition, I ran up, I saw them. It was just a really, really lovely family moment.
What a year for you.
Yeah.
So we could kind of call it two home games.
Yeah.
So your dad is French.
Yeah.
Your mum is Italian.
Yeah.
You're English, but you can speak four languages.
I can. So I do Spanish A level, and because it's quite similar to Italian, I picked it up
quite quickly.
Rather quickly.
So you're a polyglot?
You could say that.
That is very impressive. Now, talk to me a little bit more about your studies, because you did an EPQ last year. Tell us about that.
So I initially went in wanting to expand my own knowledge on aesthetic sports, because I am involved in an aesthetic sport. I do it every single day. And just around the eating behaviors and the body image factor of aesthetic sports, because I wanted to have more information, because it was something that it's not really taught, but something that you kind of figure out as you grow. And I wanted to talk to a nutritionist and I wanted to talk to a psychologist and do my own research, because I think it's the best way to get information. You know, you are going out and you're searching for it and you're getting the answers that you want. So it was very, very interesting to understand and to actually have information presented in front of me.
What inspired you to take that step? Because that's an individual decision to take on board further knowledge. Was there something that spurred on that decision?
I think I used to struggle with eating and with being confident in my body. And it was something that I was a little bit confused about, because I knew that I was beautiful, but I didn't think that I had the right body or that I was perfect, you know. And it's always this image of this perceived image, as we said before, of being perfect, and it's something that is not, you can't attain it, it doesn't exist.
First of all, yeah, I would agree with you in that I don't believe there is a perfect image.
No.
And there's this perception, an idyllic vision of what we should look like, and as an athlete I think it really does depend on what sport you do.
Yeah.
So muscular, diving, I'm assuming that would make you sort of mesomorphic type? To be honest, everyone's sort of a combo of everything.
Yeah. I've always had extremely long legs. You know, my coach used to say...
So you're an ectomorph.
So I have more legs than body. And
that's
I've
a
always
huge asset. You should be claiming that.
I do. It looks very pretty in the air. But I'm very proud of my body and who I am, because it represents my family. You know, it's my mum has long legs as well. My dad is quite tall, and we're all a very strong family. But we don't associate beauty with how you look. We associate it with who you are and what you represent. And I think now what's really nice to see is we're moving further away from looking perfect into feeling your best and feeling your strongest. And I think I perform best not when I control what I eat to look a certain way, but when I empower myself through, you know, S&C, my coach is a female, my S&C coach is a female, and we talk, we're always in constant communication, and she's always teaching me new things about the science behind my body, you know, understanding my body and everything. And I think it's very, very important as a female as well, you know, when you have your period, when you understand your menstrual cycle, and because it makes you who you are. And it also helps with training. And I think I definitely compete the best when I'm fueled properly, when I'm recovering properly, and when I'm confident, not only in what I look like, which is the last of my worries, but in how I feel, the training that I'm putting in. And instead of, you know, because our sport is so difficult, and we shouldn't be worrying about what we look like when we should be thinking about what we're doing. Because the sport that I do, sometimes, I'm not even joking, I sit there and I'm like, how am I doing this? How is this possible? I'm literally spinning in the air and then I'm going into the water. It's just, it's crazy. It is crazy to think about. It's mind blowing.
It's totally mind blowing. Andrea, I have some sort of sympathy or connection with the flipping element, but you do it times three.
Yes. Yeah. Three and a half.
I only did two. If I did two and a half, that was when it went wrong and I'd land on my back. So yeah. Take me back to the EPQ though. In doing that course, what was your biggest takeaway that you've implemented within your career?
I wasn't aware of the dangers of under-eating and of eating to look a certain way. Because when I did that, I felt, for a short period of time, I felt great. I was like, I look good, like, I feel good. And then after a week, I was exhausted. So I wasn't
just
eating.
Just 1 week.
I wasn't eating. I had the support of my mum and the support of my team, you know, just helping me understand everything. And this also, because, you know, people can tell you, oh, you need to eat, or you need to do this, or you need to fuel in a certain way.
Yeah.
But you can also choose not to listen to that.
Of course you can.
And this EPQ really helped me realize, like, it came from me. The realization came from me, and I was like, right, I need to change. I needed to change my mindset on how I viewed food, because I was also, even though I was eating enough, and I was eating, well, on paper enough, then my mentality towards food was wrong. It was kind of like, oh, I'm going to eat this, but then I'm going to feel bloated. And then I would see the bloat, even though it wasn't there. It was fabricated, because that's all I was thinking about. Wow. And now it's moving towards food is fuel.
That's a huge undertaking and responsibility. In awareness, someone of your age to actually make action on that. Anyone listening to this podcast will take huge inspiration from what you've just shared, because that's extremely open and very honest.
I think, well, because I have a platform and because I'm seen on TV, I think it's important to know that, you know, I'm not perfect. And I do struggle with things that some people may think, oh no, I'm the only one. And really, there are more people that struggle with it than we actually know. And being open and being honest and actually asking for help instead of shying away because you're scared of judgment or because you're scared that people don't understand, because more people understand than not.
What is perfect to you?
There's no such thing as perfect. The only thing that's perfect in my eyes is Jesus. That is it. No one can be perfect. Perfect is trying your best. Perfect is going into every day, even if you don't feel 100%, but you're giving 100% of the percentage that you have.
That's beautiful.
There's no such thing as perfect, but there is such thing as doing your best. And if you go, you know, let's say you don't feel your best one day, but you take, let's say for me, for example, on one day I'm feeling 30%. That's not good. But I'm going to use 100% of my 30% and I'm going to give it my all. And that's something that I've learned and something that didn't come easy. And it's just about really putting the frustration aside, not entertaining frustration. because I think it's really easy when you're in a rut and you're not feeling your best to entertain that negativity and to entertain the feelings of worry, of doubt, of frustration, and feeding it. So then it grows and grows and grows, and it's harder to get rid of. But if you go into every day, you're like, today I'm feeling frustrated. First off, communicate.
Yeah.
Talk to the people around you. How can they help you? What is the best way to move forward with your day? And then just going for it. Trying your best. And even if it's not the best day, at least you tried.
Yeah. When it doesn't quite go to plan, you come out of the pool, you're fatigued, and there's frustration.
Yeah.
How do you combat that?
I cry.
Have a little cry.
Have a little cry.
You're crying a little hug.
Yeah. I think it starts off with that. It starts off just with comfort. And then I talk to my mum. My mum helps me through it. I'm a Christian, so I pray. That really helps me. And I talk to my friends. You know, it's very easy to go on your high horse and say, I don't need anyone. I'm upset today. You know, everyone, leave me alone. Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
But always come back to your support staff. Always come back to your circle, because they know how to help you. Because in the times when you're feeling like that, you're not yourself. And you're seeing things in a really narrow view.
Yeah.
And all you're focusing on is the bad. There's always something good to take out of the day. There's always something good to take out of a session. Like, for example, if I've got a bad session, I will always, my coach will always take one good thing out of it. Because there's always something that I'm improving on.
Always.
And if I came in and I really wasn't feeling good, the good thing was that I came in.
Yeah.
It's just about, it's the small steps that lead to big achievements.
Okay, so run me through today, for example. Let you into a little secret. We're recording this on a Saturday, which is the end of your working week.
Yes.
So you've had a logistical week of managing 3 A-levels,
yeah,
study, upcoming travel,
yeah,
and diving full-time.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired.
I am.
You're fatigued. What did you take out of today, and how will you project that into next week?
So, today, I'll start off in the morning.
Okay, nice.
Alarm goes off at 8 o'clock. I want to go back to sleep. I'm so tired. I'm just like, no way, there's no way. But I woke up, I went downstairs, and I fed the cat and the dog. I'm taking it step by step today.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling quite tired. My shoulders and my triceps feel like someone is throwing bricks at them. So, you know, it's just about taking the small steps in the day. Then I feed myself. That's important. Otherwise I'll be moody all day. Oh, had a coffee.
What did you have?
Croissant.
Oh, go on. That's the Parisian in you.
And I had a coffee as well.
Nice.
Just because, you know, caffeine yeah, always helps. And then I got to training, saw my friends, that already helped a little bit.
Little bit.
Had some smiles, had some good music going on. And I really enjoy S&C. It's something that's, it's different to my everyday training. And it's just fun. My S&C coach wasn't here today, but I did have my diving coach, Alex, watching me do my S&C. And I enjoyed the day. I enjoyed the pain. I tried to enjoy the pain. Let me rephrase.
So that was your mentality,
yeah,
going into it. How can I seek enjoyment,
yes,
within this block of
fatigue?
Yeah.
And just boshing it out.
Boshing it out.
Just doing it.
Love that.
I have to do it. So I might as well just do it.
Just get it done.
Just get it done. No complaining. Just do it.
That's going to be me tomorrow.
Yeah.
My half marathon. I'm going to channel the Andrea. Just bosh it out.
Just bosh it out.
Get it done. Smile through
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Because once in pain.
Once you get it done, you kind of like, achieve this today. I'm feeling good. Physically, I'm feeling good. And I was really excited about chatting with you, so that kind of helped as well.
Thank you. That's mega. I was excited about chatting with you as well. That was my motivation for getting up early too. I beat you on the early get up though. 7:30.
7:30?
Yeah. Because I had to practice my handstands before I came here.
Oh,
Obviously.
If
I knew I was meeting you, I didn't want to embarrass myself.
Do you want a handstand competition?
I'd give it a go, yeah, why not? Go on, we're just going to pop one up.
Just on the gravel, oh, on
this
the grass.
It's quite gravelly, isn't it? How about that bit? It looks a bit softer.
Okay, yeah.
What are you saying, John? You ready?
Right, we're going to do a handstand. Which way? This one?
What's the techers? Are we just going straight in?
We'll just go straight in.
You tell me. You're the pro.
You want to practice your straddle or you want to just go for it?
Let's just go for it. Okay, I'm nervous
ready?
Now. Yeah. Ready? Three, yeah. Two, one. What? Oh, no.
Whoa, the form is there. Go on, Temia.
I think I need a hairband in. No excuses here, Fuller. Right.
Okay, you ready?
Three, two, one. Oh, that's quite hard on the gravel. Right, we'll leave that there. Scrap that. Back to the podcast.
Good handstand break. We always need them.
Yeah, it's just refreshing the energy, right?
Exactly.
Now, let's talk Paris, because it's pretty surreal.
It is.
That's come around extremely quickly, and Tokyo seems like it was only yesterday.
It literally does, you're right.
Home field advantage, can we claim that with the half French?
I am definitely very excited about the prospect of Paris. My grandparents are already trying to plan their travel.
No way.
Yeah, they're already talking to family and everything, like, oh, you know, like, my granddaughter, she does diving. You know, we need to go watch her. You know, everyone is really, really excited and supportive, but there is a process to qualification and to getting ready and everything. So I'm just trying to take it a year at a time, but it is very exciting. I do love Paris. I think it's a beautiful city, and it's going to be a new pool as well.
Nice.
So it's going to be very, very pretty.
Clean water.
Yes.
Shiny bottom.
Yes.
Now, talk to me about the process of qualifying for Paris, because I know how it works in snowboarding. I don't know about diving. Are you going for two disciplines? Are you going for one? What's the plan of action?
So I'm going to go for synchro and individual. So my synchro partner is Lois Tolson, and we're a fairly new synchro pair, but
nice. It
works so well. You know, the synchro really is just organic and it's easy. We get along really well, the chemistry's there. So it's always a fun time training with her. And so what happens is there's gonna be a qualifying for the nation in June, July in Japan. And top 18 in the final.
Yep.
Qualify a spot for their nation.
Okay.
Then the following year, there's another chance, another world championships that you can qualify a spot for your nation. But each nation holds an Olympic trial that helps you qualify for your name spot. For the Tokyo, it was a little bit different just because of COVID and everything. So I couldn't really explain that very well, but just know
Scott
that I...
Tokyo, this is the one. First home games.
Yeah.
And you've got an audience.
Yeah. I think it's going to be so exciting. My dad is really excited. My mum is really excited. And I'm really excited for the process. And I think it's going to be great. And also, it's a gap year. So I won't be doing studies and training, which would be a first-time thing for me.
Yeah, so you'll actually really have a break and time to, I say a break, it's not a break going to the Olympics, but a break from using that side of your mental capacity to hone in on.
Yeah, it's going to be the first time that I can actually focus on one thing at a time, which is going to be very beneficial, I think, for me.
Be cool to see where you can take it. Is there a little more pressure going in round two, or do you think you now have an advantage as you have won Olympic Games under your belt?
I don't think there's so much pressure if I don't put it on myself. You know, external pressure will always be there, but it's if you let it sit and if you let it marinate in you, that's where it kind of affects you. But I'm kind of just gonna go with the mindset of training as hard as possible and then enjoying it. I need to enjoy the process, otherwise I won't enjoy the end result.
How do you manage pressure?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I personally, I just give it to God. I can't handle it. And there's been times where I put so much pressure on myself that the end result was rather terrible. I mean, it was just so bad. And I went to the Budapest World Championships and I missed out on the semi-final because I came 19th and I missed out by 1 point.
Wow.
And I was kind of just like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. And I didn't enjoy the competition because all I was thinking about wasn't myself, but it was other people. And I think, you know, especially an individual, you need to focus on yourself. You need to, and it's not selfish to do so because
no, not at all.
It is the sport that you're doing.
So were you distracted by the other divers around you and looking at what they were doing?
I think I was distracted in general. I was really nervous. My training wasn't consistent. I didn't feel prepared. And mentally, I cared so much more about diving than any previous competition that I was kind of like wanting to prove myself,
yeah,
or wanting to prove my love for diving. And I do not have anything to prove.
And then that's not for you.
No.
You're doing that for somebody or everybody else, and probably nobody cares anyway.
No,
it's all about bringing it back to the internal thought process.
Yes, right? Exactly. And I was just, I don't know why I wanted to prove so much. I had gone through a really difficult time and I had overcome so much, but I still felt the internal pressure to, again, be quote unquote perfect.
Yeah.
And it was just something that didn't work for me. And I needed that kick and I needed that failure to completely switch for the Commonwealth Games.
Through failure we grow.
Exactly.
And look at the result you
exactly
had. Unreal. I watched back your dive a few times yesterday and I have to say the intensity in that room and the silence on top of that board, but then that sheer elation, just that series of emotions, I can imagine it's so magic.
It was, and it's funny that you say that because they were so loud and then all of a sudden it was dead silent. They were literally, you could hear a pin drop. You could, when you're on that 10 meter, you can, if you're not focused, you can hear what people are doing in the stands. Because it's that quiet.
That's the weirdest situation I found when I was snowboarding. If I could ever hear the guy on the microphone,
yes,
at the bottom,
yes,
of the hill, I'm like, I'm not focused. Think, focus on me,
yeah,
on you, and then everything becomes muffled.
Yeah.
How do you combat that in that situation?
So in competition, I think it's very important that you relax.
Yeah.
Because if you don't relax, first off, your muscles are going to be like this, so tense, and you're not going to be competing like you train, because you're just not used to the type of muscle contraction that's going on.
Yeah.
And if you're overthinking, you're just overthinking, it's just not gonna do you well.
It's,
yeah,
not, is it?
Just focus on one thing.
One thing.
Focus on one thing. Or let's say your coach has given you some pointers. Don't overload yourself with information. Don't change the way that you go about your dive in competition compared to training.
Scale it back.
Yeah.
Scale it back.
Go back to what you know.
Now, Andrea, we are on the Monday Mile podcast. It might be a Saturday. Shh. What's your relationship like with Monday, the start of the week?
Oh, sometimes maybe good, sometimes sometimes always good, but sometimes I may be a little bit tired. It's the start of the week, you know. You need to kickstart your week feeling good. You've just, you know, I'm feeling blessed. I just woke up, start of a new week. Going for it. Having goals for your week, making sure that you're feeling good, making sure that you're happy, making sure that you know what you need to do that week.
Yeah.
You got some goals, you got some focus, and that you just, again, go and bosh it. Go bosh the week.
I really admire your honesty when it comes to fatigue, because a lot of people would look at a role model like yourself and just imagine that you're perfectly energized all the time and everything's amazing. But that's not reality.
No, it's a, I, I'm gonna be honest, I'm tired a lot of the time because I'm non-stop. I go to school, I go to training, I come back. Then I have homework to do, I got catch-up to do, I got coursework to do, got revision to do. This month I had exams that I had to do. So I'm non-stop, my brain is just always going. And that does translate to mental and emotional fatigue. And I'm gonna be honest again, I did cry a lot this week, but it's fine. It's absolutely fine. Because it's an emotional response to exhaustion. But I have everyone around me that is so supportive, and I don't think I'd be able to get through it without them. Like, without my family, without my friends, without my coach, without anyone at the pool. And so I feel really, really lucky with who I surround myself with, because they make the hard days a lot easier.
Are you scared of burnout?
No, because I don't let myself get to that point.
So would you catch yourself before that?
Yes.
And scale it back?
And if I don't catch myself, my support team will.
That's incredible.
Because I did get to a point where burnout really got me thinking, oh, I should quit. And I can't go back to that. It's always like learning where the line is and not pushing yourself so far beyond the line, because again, you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it because you want to prove something. And yeah. What are you trying to prove? That you can push yourself past exhaustion and then burn out?
That's no good for anybody.
It's no good. It doesn't help you, and it doesn't help others either. But I'm also speaking as if it's easier said than done, but it's really not.
No, it's not.
Because I sometimes do get to the point where I'm very close to burnout, but if I didn't have the people around me to stop me when I needed to, then I would have so many.
Now, Andrea, you are special in my eyes.
Thank you.
You're slightly different, and when it comes to the mould of normal, you're definitely different. You are a role model, not only for the younger generations coming through, also for the generations before you, because you speak words wise beyond your years, and I've taken a lot from chatting to you today. So I'm wondering, do you have a role model?
My mum is my biggest role model. She is honestly the strongest woman I think I will ever meet. And she inspires me every single day. And she inspires me as a mum. She inspires me just as a woman in general. And my family is full of strong women like her that have overcome so many things. And I feel so honoured to be a part of my family. Because it's so incredible to see them. They work so hard. They go through periods where they still give it 110%, even though they don't have a lot. And they just love with their whole heart. And I love it, man. I love her so much. It's just, she's amazing.
The zest and smile on your face right now is lighting up my face.
I think mums are just incredible.
They are the best.
They are the best.
We're lucky to have one.
We are.
Andrea, last question. Are there any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners to inspire them to maybe take that one step out of their comfort zone?
I want people to feel beautiful not only in how they look on the outside, but how they are on the inside. And I think moving further away from looking like the perceived ideal and just being who you are. I think just be confident in who you are. Don't shy away from who you are because other people don't like it. Everyone is gonna have an opinion about you. Everyone is. And it's just about saying, I don't care. I don't care what you think about me, because I'm gonna go and I'm gonna be the most confident and the most authentic person that I can be. being true to yourself. Don't do things for other people because you want to please them. Do things for yourself so that you feel good.
Andrea Siriex, the words you have shared with us on this gloomy Saturday morning are beautiful. I've left this conversation feeling lighter, inspired, and I know how I'm going to channel my energy this week. Monday Mile listeners, I really, really hope you enjoyed this one. Make sure you get behind Andrea on the countdown to Paris 2024. She's making waves, not just in her sport, but outside of that. Monday Mile listeners, it's a wrap.